invite, if you would, to take a Bible and turn to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 13. New Bible that we press 90. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It is perhaps a familiar passage to you. So I invite you to think about familiar passages is sometimes we gloss over them. So lean in and listen intently as you listen to what the Lord would say to us even now. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the things in parables saying, sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 60 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word of the Lord God. How many of you out there today are planners? Some of you, just by the way, you smile. You're like, yes, even hearing the word planning brings some amount of joy to your heart, brings your blood pressure level down just a little bit. I would like to be more intentional about how I invest the time that the Lord's given me in thinking about what's coming up. Last week, Mary was out running some errands and I was at home and I had kind of an unusual little gap of time and I got out a planner and I just started texting her all these different questions. And when we reconnected later that afternoon, I was like, yeah, I was doing a little planning this afternoon. She's like, I could tell. Right? Of all these things, ready for them or thinking about it or planning, you might miss some important thing or some opportunity coming up. And I mean, whether it's intentional or it's just part of who I am, at the end of the day, usually when I get in the bed and I'm kind of shutting down for the evening, which is early, by the way. And I'm thinking about the day and I'm praying about certain things that are on my heart and mind. Sometimes I think about the day that's just passed. And I notice myself being with May that, Lord, thank you for a good day. Right? Thank you for a good day. And as I was thinking about this passage, it occurred to me that it's fine to thank the Lord for a good day, but what I would rather thank the Lord for is a fruitful day. I'd rather get to the end of my day and look back and think, Lord, thank you for the ways in which I saw your hand at work and I saw perhaps, Lord, thank you for the chance to sow some seeds today and look at you. Because there's a part of us, if you're like me, I guess that probably many of us struggle with this, is that we are generally busy people. We're generally people that tend to get up and we kind of run from the time the sun comes up or when we get up to greet the sun until we lay our heads on the pillow at night. And if we're not careful, it's not that we intentionally want to abdicate our responsibility to kingdom with others of our day. And we look back and we think, was there anything that I did today to perhaps sow the seeds of the gospel in the lives of other people? Was there anything that I did intentionally to try to see people with eyes of compassion and the eyes that Jesus would see them with and just offer some word or some invitation or some explanation of the good news of the gospel that might bring them a little bit closer to it? Then guess what? We probably won't do it. If we don't make some kind of effort and plan to write it down, perhaps in a calendar, maybe you do that. Maybe you get your planner out or giving you permission. And you say, tomorrow, sow some seed. Sow some seed. And part of us, we think about that, and if you're like me, perhaps you are intimidated at the thought of talking to other people about Jesus. Any of you share that? Some of you are not raising your hand, but one of the great things of being about up here, I get to see nonverbal feedback. Right? There's a part of us, if we're not careful, that we don't know how to go about it, or we think that it has to be seen. But really, you and I have opportunities, if we would just along the way, it could be as simple as inviting someone to church. It could be as simple as when we have our end of summer celebration, inviting them to come. It could be as simple as inviting them to a pool party to begin to experience community of faith that they might then draw them a little. Are not called to make things grow, that you and I are just simply called to cast the seed. And Jesus here, as he's talking to his disciples, he really is preparing them for the life of discipleship. And I think this word, this parable for them would have been a word of encouragement. If any of you have ever tried to grow something and you have the green thumb that I have, there could be moments in which you get frustrated at the lack of fruit or yield that you receive. Anyone else feel that? If it was up to me to make things grow, to feed you all, God bless you. Like, we're all going to starve, okay? And there's a part of us in sowing the seeds of the gospel in the lives of others that if we're not careful, we grow weary because we don't see the fruit that we're longing to see. Well, in this, as I look at it through that lens, that Jesus is trying to encourage the disciples that there are a lot of things happening that perhaps they're not privy to as they sow the seeds of the gospel. And he just wants to encourage them to keep going and to realize that you and I shouldn't be surprised when not every seed that we throw out bears. As you wrestle with this parable, there's only really one type of soil that bears fruit. Is that right? And so you and I should be realistic in a way as we sow the seeds, that we don't grow weary, that we don't get discouraged, that we, as we're looking for fruit in the hearts and lives of others, when it doesn't happen on our timeline, ourselves more fully to praying for the Lord to do things in the hearts and lives of people that we can't do, Spirit working. So as you think about these different types of paths that we're receiving the seed, there's one that's the path and it's hard ground and it doesn't have an opportunity to take root. And you have a well-worn path anywhere near your house. Oftentimes when you walk down or drive down, carved out by the bikers and the joggers right there on the edge of the sidewalk, that's a hard, compacted path, and probably if you and I put seed there, it's not going to grow. And there are some of us, it's just the fallen world, that some of us, our hearts are hard to the things of the Lord, and we do not understand or comprehend them. And when you and I engage and encounter people whose hearts are hardened to the gospel and the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus, you and I can sow seed all day long, but what we need at work, tilling that soil for us. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if there are people in your life that you want them to be, and you are trying to share the good news of the gospel with them, you're trying to sow that seed, to pray. And to ask the Lord to do the hard work of tilling that hard ground and preparing that heart. And it puts you in a path and kind of position of dependence, which is where I think the Lord would have you to be. And so first, if you're sowing seed and you're not seeing the results that you want to see as you share heart with those who are in your lives, begin by praying for the Lord to give their hearts receptive soil to the good news of the gospel. There are other seed that falls in shallow soil. See, because immediately it springs up and we think that things are going the way that we want them to go. Kind of response that is joyful. And we see the beginnings of fruit. But Jesus cautions against thinking that that's enough. And he says these seed fall among this and they don't have deep roots. So that when persecution and hardship come, rather than continuing to remain hardy and to bear fruit in harsh conditions, these plants wither. And for those of us who are here, who are perhaps early on in our relationship with the Lord, raising children, I think, that we celebrate, responded about the early fruit that we see coming, but that we're also realistic about the nature of the world in which we're going to grow up and try to develop that faith to where it brings fruit. And so you and I don't get in a position where we think that that's the end of the game. If we think about Nolan this morning, what a beautiful expression of his faith in Jesus Christ. And so now it's our opportunity him and do everything we can as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit to help him develop deep roots in his faith. Because all of us who've lived any amount of life, that we know hardship is coming, do we not? And it could be something that is because we bring it on ourselves through our own sin and disobedience. It could be just something that you and I encounter by living in a fallen world of tribulations and hardships that you and I encounter. But there is a way to bear fruit in the process. It is our heart's desire to continue to cooperate and work alongside the Holy Spirit to see that seed that has borne early fruit to take deep roots, that it will be able to sustain whatever it is that the world throws at them. So you and I, we know that baptism is not the finish line. We know that an initial profession of faith is not the ultimate goal. But it's just one step in that long process of discipleship that we continue to work hard and pray hard and bear fruit that will last and endure in the face of whatever it is that comes. And then there's the seed that falls among the thorns. And I'll just tell you, in all of my years of reading this parable, this is the one to kind of take stock of my own heart and life the most. As Jesus explains this parable later on in Matthew chapter 13, he says that this seed is ultimately choked out. And it's choked in the deceitfulness of riches. And that you can kind of go back to earlier in Matthew's gospel where Jesus talks about how you and I can be preoccupied by everything that this world has to throw at us, just our basic survival. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How much of your time is spent thinking about one of those three things? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? The more children you have in your house, the more you're thinking about the food thing. Like meals come every 5 minutes, it feels like, right? This kind of thing with things that are just necessary for life. And Jesus back there in that portion of Matthew's gospel says, very intentionally, don't worry about those things to that level. Like everybody else is worrying about these things, and you ought to go through life with this understanding that your heavenly Father is going to provide for you. And so you and I are freed up a little bit from obsessing over those things. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Right. And then the deceitfulness of riches. I have a Greek dictionary that I try to use and understand these words more faithfully and deeply. And this word, the deceitfulness of riches, can also be the seductive nature of riches. By all types of things that might be fun or joyful or some experience out there. And if you and I are not careful, we get so distracted by those things that we can't focus on things that are eternally important. And we think that if we just have that or experience that, or if we just have enough of that, then we're going to be secure. And I think Jesus is coming in this parable, and he's saying, don't be like those who aren't followers of me. Instead, focus on things of eternal value and importance. And let's imagine how much time if we didn't things as fully as we do. I'll just tell you, the Splon family, we're prone to watch too much television. Amen, anybody else? And what's pernicious about TV now is it's like the autoplay. It just keeps going. And you can like find yourself looking up and like, man, we've been here for 2 hours watching Bluey. How many episodes of Bluey was that? Right. And you get sucked in, and the reality of it is that all of us, yes, with ourselves, sometimes we are busy with things that are trivial and don't matter and ultimately don't bring life and joy that we long to know. And so as we are, when sometimes the fruit that we want to see in other people's lives is choked out by the busyness of things and the preoccupation of things that ultimately are passing away. And in our own hearts and lives, it's a word of warning. At least it was for me this week as I was thinking about this passage of Scripture and how it is to bear fruit. And as I look at my calendar and my planning, and as I look back and as I think about the events of the day, the reality is that there is time enough to sow the seed of the gospel if I will make it a priority to look up and to look out and to see people with the eyes of compassion with which Jesus saw them, and to move toward them and to just make one small step of faith, ultimately will yield fruit in God's plans and purposes and timing. So this week, I want you to think about, and let's just make it singular, just a seed. Just as you're going about your life this week, if you're on vacation, or if you are going to work, or if you're in the coffee shop, or wherever you find yourself, and really that first seed might be the hardest one for you to say. To work up the courage to just say one thing about Jesus, or extend one invitation into the life of this church, and to be prayerful that God in his time will bring about fruit. And remember, it's not ultimately about you, but it's about God's word going forth, seeing the fruit. It may be that you don't see the fruit this side of heaven. But we can do our part to be faithful, to help others come a little bit closer to it and know the eternal life that God would have for them to know in Jesus Christ. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word for us even now. We thank you that those of us who are people of faith, those of us who believe in Jesus in this room and have experienced eternal life and are on the path of abundant life, that someone was. We thank you that you in your good time, by the power of your Spirit, have brought fruit. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that same work, that you would use us in small or large ways to help others come to a more full understanding of Jesus Christ, and to, in your time, trust that you will bring about fruit. We pray that you would help us to be faithful in the discipleship process as we see early fruit popping up. Lord, help us to do everything we can to nurture deep, and it might be a fruit there that can sustain all that this world might throw at them. And Lord, make our hearts good soil. We pray that you would show us the ways in which we have crowded out the seed of your gospel through being preoccupied with everything that this world might throw at us. Help us to see past all lives to eternally important matters. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you feel like God is calling you to do that or to unite with us and become a member here at Mount Brook Baptist Church, or if you just respond where you are by standing and singing or praying, however it is that God leads, so as we stand together.